You're listening to the Next Level Learning Podcast, part of the Keystone Area Education Agency. Hey everyone, my name is Jared Borman and I am here with
Norma Teasy.
We are two instructional technology consultants at the Keystone AEA in Northeast Iowa, and this is the Next Level Learning Podcast, where we are trying to break the ceiling and move education up into the upper levels of thinking. So that's kind of what I would say is what we're hoping to do here with this podcast is spotlight teachers that we have the opportunity to work with in our particular AEA area that are doing some great stuff, and they're great examples. And that's what we hear a lot from other teachers is, oh, I just wish I had examples, or I could learn from this or that. And so I guess the purpose of this is to highlight some of the teachers in our area, but also allow them the opportunity to share out those good teachings, those good methods that they're using in their classroom that gets students into those upper levels. So we actually had the opportunity to interview our first guest, and I'll let Norma talk about her a little bit.
Sure. We enjoyed an interview with Stephanie Stocks, who's the teacher librarian at West Delaware High School in Manchester. And for the first time, she used a Breakout EDU project twice with her students. And if you haven't used Breakout EDU, it's kind of a spin-off of the escape rooms that we see across the country, only these breakouts are for students, and it can be K-12 and even adult and professional learning. But it really involves a box of any kind. It could be a fishing box, a plastic box, or it could be a Breakout EDU wooden box that you can buy online. And there are various locks, could be directional locks, number locks, word locks, and the teacher or the facilitator then designs higher level thinking problems so that students can work in teams to solve those problems, and then the solution is the answer or the key to unlocking the lock. And then sometimes they're set up by a time, so there you have a time limit that you've got to get these solved in, and sometimes not. But teachers across the country are figuring out this is a great way to bring in some hands-on, some higher order thinking, some teamwork kinds of skills into the classroom.
And you actually had a personal experience with Breakout EDUs, right, Norma?
Yeah, I've actually done some that were online in my own time, and then I did take a training this summer. But then this fall, we had teacher librarians come to Keystone, and we have two Breakout EDU kits. And so I adapted one was designed from some teacher librarians in Ankeny, Iowa. And so we went through and walked through that breakout, and then I actually did it at Dubuque Community, too. So I've actually done it twice, so that they could see or get some ideas on how they could use it in the classroom and experience it. And I didn't design mine from scratch, but I used somebody else's idea and then adapted it to fit our situation. And I learned a lot. I did a lot of problem solving too, because I made a lot of mistakes and had to figure out what my mistake was.
Yeah, so I'm gonna ask you more about your personal experience, because I don't have any real hands-on experience with Breakout EDU. So this is kind of a new learning opportunity for me. But let's listen in and see what she had to say about how she used Breakout EDU.
Well, I've actually used the Breakout EDU kit twice, and the first time was when I was doing some book talks for a class. The teacher wanted to do a second set of book talks during this term, and the first time it was more of a sit and get. The kids just got to listen to me talk to the books, and so she wanted to try something different. And in the past, I've done some of the book speed dating with students, but I didn't want that to get old either, so I decided to try out my new Breakout EDU kit. And so I came up with some clues and divided the kids into groups. So we had four groups, and each group just followed one clue. And their job was to follow that clue to find the books that I was going to use during my book talks. And then within that book, they found another clue that was going to help them unlock one of the locks. And we did this on Halloween, and so the box contained their Halloween treat from me that they got to enjoy while I gave book talks after that. So that was the first time that I did it. The second time was just recently when I hosted a Bring a Book to Life event for my middle school and high school students. And we did what was called Mystery Mayhem. It was a competition between the different teams. They rotated between six stations, and at one of the stations we did the breakout kit. So they were trying to uncover one of the clues to help them solve how the crime was committed. So again, they had to use their library resources to follow the clues to some of the different books in order to unlock some of their locks.
And was that during the school day, or did you do one on the weekend?
That competition was on the weekend. It was Saturday night.
Oh, Saturday night. And you had a pretty good turnout?
We did. We had about 40 students. It was divided between about 8 different teams.
Oh, so how do you get the kids interested in attending on a Saturday night?
That's one night that they are actually free, so that is helpful. Oh. We've actually done the Bring a Book to Life event for about 6 or 7 years now, and it's kind of become tradition with the kids. So we see some of the same kids over and over again, and this year we didn't follow any particular book or series. We just used little bits and pieces from a lot of different books, but it still served the purpose because I had middle school students in my high school library saying, oh, that book looks cool, and at the end of the night, at least one of the books got checked out, so it was a win-win.
Yeah, you met your goal.
So, I imagine getting kids in on a Saturday, this thing has to be obviously very engaging cognitively for these kids to give up a Saturday in order to come in and do this kind of activity. So, what's been your experience with it, Norma?
Well, I think Stephanie, for one, does a great job of promoting her program. And so she's done this, she mentioned that she's done this over several years, but a different activity. So the students know that they've got something good going on if they show up in the library. And I think she mentioned to me off air that some of the students saw the breakouts on her desk and wanted to know what was going on. And they looked at the clues and they actually had them figured out. But what they didn't realize is after they left, she changed the answers so that they had to start all over. And she found out that some of the kids who maybe don't always solve things right away were really good at this.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, it's that hands-on piece and that getting down in there and problem-solving and thinking through. Sometimes you just never know who's really good at that.
Yeah. And so, that's, I think that, you know, with the students in the classroom, sometimes with an activity like this that's so different, they do kind of surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of neat when those kind of students step up and, mm-hmm. and really surprise you like that. It's always fun.
Yeah, and it's not sitting in the classroom at the chair, but it's getting up and moving and using those locks. I think that it's really appealing to kids.
So what is the role of the teacher then in the room, like in a breakout ED room when it's going on? Because this takes several minutes, yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, it depends if you have one box or if you can design this so you have multiple boxes. But the role of the teacher is really to monitor the locks. And what I've seen recommended is that the teacher usually sits by the lock and then watches as kids come to solve the lock to try to get it open and maybe give some tips or to help or not, because there are a few tricks to those locks. But then when the student has that solved, then you might lock the lock up again if you've got another team coming to try to solve that. You have it staggered so that not all teams are working on the same lock at the same time.
Okay.
So you have to kind of monitor that.
Okay. So you are kind of like a monitor in that case and facilitating in some fashion.
Yeah. And I think you have to let the kids solve the problems themselves and resist the temptation to give hints. You do have hint cards that you can give, but you know, you can't, when you see that the students aren't on the right track, it's really, you know, you want to go up and say, hey, that's not right, or try this,
yeah.
but let them figure that out. So
okay.
I think that's why it's really kind of good for the teacher to step back and just monitor those locks and not get involved in what the kids are doing too much.
Okay. And you think the kids probably enjoy that more than...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They like working together and as a team. And, you know, you can have different roles. So somebody can be the lock master for one solution, and then to the next problem might be a different lock master, because they all like that hands-on piece. And then, you know, depending on what you're doing, you can have different roles.
Perfect.
And then there's a... You can even have a template so that the students can write down what they think the answer is. And then if they get it wrong, then they can go back and solve it and write out the next answer. You know, so there's lots of things you can do to facilitate that and plan ahead.
Yeah, and she's really mentioned the planning part of it too, and that it takes a really intense amount of time in order to put all this together. Because I'm imagining, again, I don't have personal experience with designing an breakout EDU. I actually went to a conference and I came in the middle of a breakout EDU session, so I didn't get to really experience the whole thing. But I would imagine that you got to think about the whole end first, and then kind of work backwards from that, like backward design, essentially, when it comes to instruction.
Oh, yeah. You know, I always learn by making all the mistakes first, and then I really know it. And so when I adapted the project that I did, I think I made every mistake I could possibly make when I was designing it. And it took me a long time, but now I've got it down. You know, it takes one, and then you figure out. But yeah, I had this great clue. I thought it'd be a great activity, and then I realized that the lock I had more digits or less digits than what my answer was to the clue, so it didn't work. So I had to go back and rethink my whole question.
So even you as the educator are in the upper levels of thinking in order to piece all this together. So
it was,
excellent.
It was really upper level for me.
Yeah, and Stephanie actually talks a little bit about as well sort of those upper levels and how those students really had to get into those upper levels, and specifically at what points were they actually getting into those upper levels of thinking during her breakout EDUs. Why don't we take a listen to that?
So what about upper level thinking? What kind, while they solved the clues, what were some of the thinking skills?
I think what I have discovered that kids are lacking is their ability to analyze the question, to really understand what they're supposed to be answering. They just kind of jump to conclusions and think they know what they're supposed to be finding, and that's not what they're really supposed to be looking for. So I think analyzing is one of the huge pieces that they're getting to practice as they are working with the breakout EDU kits, along with the problem solving and team building sorts of skills.
So did they always, when they went to their lock, did they always have the answer the first time, or did they have to think, oh, and go back?
They definitely had to do some thinking. For example, the other night when they did the Mystery Mayhem, they were supposed to find a year, and they were jumping to conclusions. They saw a year in the card catalog, and it was maybe the year that the author was born. They looked at that part of the cataloging and didn't realize that they were supposed to be looking at the actual book to find something that happened in the book in a certain year. So again, they were jumping to conclusions about their question and not taking the time to truly analyze the question to see what they were supposed to be answering. So yes, they had to go back to the drawing board sometimes. Yeah.
So Stephanie there really talks about how those students got in the upper levels. And the one word that I caught on to right away was the word analyzing. That, as we know, is in the upper half of Bloom's taxonomy, if that's the framework of learning that you want to work from. Or, of course, if you want to go from Webb's DOK as well, when you go into from level 1 and 2 up to 3 and 4, which is always the goal. But I think, you know, I'm just imagining in this case where these students are doing this breakout EDU, okay, and they're analyzing, but they're probably doing this for a full class period. Depending on how the breakout EDU is, is shaped up and put together, it's most likely to be a full class period. So I'm assuming at the end of this session, a lot of students are going to say, wow, class went fast today, you know, because they were in the upper levels the whole time, which I think is essentially the goal of every lesson or school day, if we can make that happen. But what other upper level thinking or were you kind of hearing and or from your own personal experience too, Norma? What do you see? Because you've done this with, you've seen it with students, right? Have you done it with students?
No.
You've done it with adults.
Yeah, I've done it with
but
adults.
But that's perfect, because still the learning process applies to all of us, all learners, not just kids or anything. So what's been your experience as far as where do you see upper levels being utilized other than just the analyzing part?
Well, the creation and thinking this through and coming up with some innovative or different ideas, some different problems that people that aren't so obvious. And I think that's where students would really like this. Mm. Once they've done this, then they design the challenges for their peers. Or for the other teachers.
So you're saying students create breakout EDUs. Now, that's interesting because I did attend iTech this last fall in October, and the breakout EDU sessions that were there were actually designed by students.
Yeah. And they had one session, and they thought the teachers solved it too quickly, so they got together with their heads together, and they made it more difficult. And so the next round was harder. So, I mean, they were challenged to make this harder for the teachers. So you can see how kids would like this, too.
So kids designing breakout EDUs for adults, and they themselves are trying to make it more challenging for the adults, which for both ends of that learning project, it's going to require upper-level thinking the whole time.
Yeah.
So in a breakout EDU, there's not just some might look at it and say it's just a retrieval. Like, I'm just retrieving information, which is a lower level Bloom's taxonomy. I'm just retrieving information and putting it in there in order to get the right answer. Do you feel it's that way or not?
Well, I suppose you could make some of it that way if it really was on a very simple level. But usually the clues are much more complex. And so you do have to do some thinking out of the box.
Okay.
Yeah. To be able to solve that.
Because, I mean, we have those types of projects in the classrooms where they say, go research this or go research that. And it does feel like retrieval information. And then the students put together a presentation where it's just a retrieval putting into a presentation and so forth. So at that base level, you might be researching. But if you're just bringing information in and putting it into a PowerPoint, we're talking lower level learning there. But in this case, it does feel like there might be some retrieval, but the majority of the process is in those upper levels.
And then, too, let's say you've got an answer. Then you go to your lock, and then you realize it doesn't fit. So right away, you know that's not the right answer. And then you've got to go back.
So you got to evaluate then.
So it's not retrieval.
Gotcha. And even evaluating, that's a part of upper levels Bloom's taxonomy. Mm-hmm. Evaluate what went wrong and how to fix it. Perfect. Now, we've touched on this already. We've talked about the preparation that goes into this, and you've talked about it a little bit as well, Norma, but Stephanie, in our interview prior to this, actually talked about some of the preparation as well, and she also gave some tips to some of the teachers as to what to do and maybe what to avoid when putting this kind of breakout EDU together. Let's take a listen to that.
And I would say I haven't put together maybe a full-blown breakout at this point. The two breakouts that I have done were both pretty short. Each of them had a total of 4 clues. And I did discover it takes the kids longer to maybe get through some of those clues than you anticipate. So I guess that'd be my other piece of advice. Also make sure that you test out the clues with maybe some colleagues or students who wouldn't be as part of that breakout to see if they are going to interpret the questions the way that you think you wrote them or that you intended. That was one of the big things I found the other night. The kids maybe weren't quite getting my question, and maybe that was my fault. So test out your clues. When it comes to how long it took to do it, to do those 4 clues for each one, it kind of comes to you in spurts. You know, if you just sit down to write it, it may not all happen at once. And so you may have to step away from it for a day. And then those ideas come to you. But so collaborating with other teachers, I think, can definitely be helpful as you have more than one mind coming up with things.
So Stephanie had some really good tips there. I think, the one big one that she emphasized there at the end is working with a colleague. Now, we emphasize that in education all the time, bounce ideas off of other people, whether it's the teacher next door or even teachers on social media or things like that. Collaboration amongst educators is huge, and this is an activity that is no different. In fact, it can be strengthened if you do that, is what Stephanie is saying. But what are the kind of preparations, other than what Stephanie mentioned, would you also recommend?
Sure. I'd take a look at the Breakout EDU website. They've got example breakouts that you can do, and walk through them by yourself even, so that you can see what some ideas other people have. They also have templates, and I found those to be really helpful because there's one template, for example, that's got all the different locks, and then it's a table, and then you can fill in what the clue is going to be. And it helps you think through. And that's what I didn't do, because then you look at the lock and you realize, okay, it's a word lock and it's got 5 letters. So then I know that I've got to keep my clue to 5 letters. Hmm. Or it's got a number lock and there might be 4 numbers. And so then I know that I have to keep my clue in that 4 number range. So it was a good prompt for me to help me stay on track and come up with the right end, you know, and then I had to come up with the idea.
Right.
So I really like that. And, of course, the ones that are on there, you can adapt those, too. But then you have to spend some time thinking through how it will work in your situation and your time and the materials that you have.
So going to the website allows the teacher not necessarily have to start from scratch.
Right.
Which is great.
Right. You'll get some ideas on how they did it. And there's also a Facebook group. And I was on that last spring for a while. And there's a lot of ideas posted there, or somebody will ask for help. But I got a lot of ideas from that Facebook group.
So again, using social media to collaborate with other educators, whether it's Facebook. I know we kind of preach Twitter.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that's the party where teachers go to is Twitter. But Facebook is being utilized as well.
Yeah, and Twitter might be too. I just didn't go to that one. But
sure.
It could very well be. Facebook was is really active. So that was all the ideas I really needed.
Yeah.
But it's a good place to go. You can also, once you get your Breakout EDU designed, you could submit it to the sandbox, and then other teachers can try it, and once it gets vetted, it'll get published, and then if you get one Breakout EDU activity published, I think you get a t-shirt. If you publish the second one, you get a sweatshirt that I think says Breakout EDU, and then you get a third one. And I think the third, if you do three, I think it's you get a Breakout EDU kit. If nice. I remember right. So there's a little incentive there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then there's also a Breakout EDU app, and that does cost, if I remember right, it was around $2 or $3. And that allows you to click on the lock so you don't have to buy the locks.
Mm.
So I looked at it, but I think it's really more fun to have the hands-on locks. But that is another option,
is
to use the app.
Cool. So, I mean, they've really kind of set this up as an opportunity for teachers to be able to create, but still give some structure and help in that creation process.
Yep.
So it's people. Hopefully teachers will be more inclined to give it a try at least, especially when there's a support system out there for it.
And again, you don't have to use all the locks that come with your kit or all the locks that are on the Breakout EDU site. You can use two locks, you know, if you don't have much time or have many students. So there's a lot of flexibility in designing a Breakout EDU.
So when you say, just so we can clarify for everybody listening, when you say box, are you literally meaning a wooden box with a lock?
The Breakout EDU kit I have is a wooden box that I bought from Breakout EDU, and you can go there, and it's a wooden box, square, and it says Breakout EDU on top. It's got a couple hinges, and then it's got a, I don't know what you call it, but it's like a lock on the front, but then you use a hasp, and that holds like four different locks. So if you've got, or maybe it holds six, I think. So, but you could put your locks on that hasp then, and then have each team working on a different lock. So they're and so have your project staggered, so they're not all working at the same time.
That's awesome. So, and if you had a really crafty person, they could almost assemble their own box.
A lot of people are making their own boxes, or you could have a fishing box. And I believe if you go to the Breakout EDU website, there's a link where it'll take you to, I think, Amazon. And so you could buy, instead of buying these all in one kit, you can go to Amazon and piece your own together.
Perfect.
And all you have to do is go down to your local hardware store and buy locks. So it can be any kind, four-digit, six-digit, whatever you have, then that's the kind of clue that you'll design.
So that's more the manual, hands-on method. But there was also some digital methods, too, to sort of set up a Breakout EDU. There was something that was mentioned you could click on certain things and... Like through the app, is that right?
Right.
Or am I misinterpreting?
Right, on the app. Then you would still solve the problems, but instead of hands-on turning the key or turning the numbers on the lock, you would click on it and then punch in the numbers.
Okay, so in this case, you know, we're two instructional technology consultants here. But I will probably, I mean, I will admit, tech isn't always the answer in every learning situation.
Yeah.
In most cases, you could do either or, and this is a perfect example because... If you can still get students into the upper levels of thinking with technology or without it, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an activity that lends itself to that so easily.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose you could have a wooden box or a plastic box and then also have the app. And you could probably switch between. I've not done that, but you could.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, some great ideas. Breakout EDU, if you're a teacher that has tried this, an educator that's tried this, feel free to comment or share along with us at Next Level Learning, and hopefully we can spread the word for you and allow other teachers to sort of learn from you, and we can learn from each other because we are all a part of this huge learning community. Anything else to add, Norma?
Well, I just wanted to add that Keystone does have two Breakout EDU kits. And they're in our catalog, but contact me and I'll see that you can get one if you'd like to borrow it or take a look and give it a try.
That's what we're here for. It's
yep.
Awesome. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time.
The Keystone AEA proudly supports the Next Level Learning Podcast.